Welcome to Utah.
Thanks.
And happy birthday.
Thanks.
I heard your birthday was just a couple days ago. I don't know if you heard, but there was the LDS Church just had their conference this weekend.
I was reading about it.
And the gay rights, homosexuality came up as an issue, as it does almost every conference, I think, for the LDS Church. How do you view members of the LDS Church that are sympathetic to gay rights?
Well, we'll certainly welcome the support of members of the LDS Church who are sympathetic. You know, I'm Catholic. A majority of Catholics support marriage equality. The Catholic hierarchy does not. I think you'll probably get to that point, too, with the Mormon Church. I mean, the Mormon Church's opposition to gay rights is sort of on a collision course with the Mormon Church's emphasis on family and children and those bonds and those relationships. Increasingly, people are not willing to sacrifice their own children on the altar of this dated dogma and this hateful ideology. You know, what the leader of the Mormon Church said was nothing unexpected. It would just be nice at some point to hear the leader of the Mormon Church, as the leader of the Catholic Church now seems to be doing, to draw a distinction between Mormon doctrine and civil law, religious law and civil law. You can belong to a faith, you can lead a faith that believes that same-sex marriage is wrong and isn't allowed, and you can still sign off on living in a society where that is legal and permissible for people who are not Mormons. Mormons don't drink caffeine, and they're not trying to knock the coffee out of other people's hands through the law. That's all. We're just asking gay people, including Mormon gay people, for the same deal that Mormons made with Starbucks.
Why is that so hard for the LDS Church?
Because of sex and Christianity's eternal problem with what sex actually is. It's not just about gay people and gay sex. It's about non-procreative sex. It's about sex for pleasure, which is most of the sex straight people have. Straight people have a lot of sex and a couple of children, unless they're Mormons and they really bang them out, or traditional Catholics and they really bang them out. But sex is for pleasure. And, you know, the church, my church, the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, has always taken this position that sex is for providing more worshipful, sort of zombie-eyed followers for Jesus, and not what it is actually for, which is cementing human relationships for intimacy, for release, and occasionally for making a baby. Humans have 1,000 sexual contacts for every one live birth. Clearly, human sexuality is not about babies. It's about connection. And it is about connection for gay people in the same way it's about connection for straight people. And churches can't reconcile to that because they run around saying that sex is only for procreation when they know that that's not true.
That's a huge tenet of the LDS Church's belief on sexuality, that it's for procreation.
Right, and they're wrong.
Can you be...
And the Catholic Church is wrong on that, too.
Knowing that, can you be Mormon and gay at the same time?
That's not for me to decide. I'm not the leader of the Mormon Church. I found it impossible to be gay and Catholic at the same time. Not because, you know, I was in a sulk because the Catholic Church said nasty things about me, but because when I was, you know, a young adult and I realized that what the church said about me was wrong, it got me to thinking not, you know, I was a terrible person and Jesus hates me and I'm going to go to hell. I started to think, well, the church is obviously wrong about me and this. I wonder what else they're wrong about. And when I began to pull that thread, the entire garment unraveled. And I'm surprised when I meet people who are gay, who are still Mormon or still Catholic, or still evangelical Protestants, because you would think the advantage you enjoy as a gay person when you're brought into conflict with the faith into which you were born is that it's going to cause you to think more critically, not just about what your church says about gay people, but what your church says about everything. And I don't think many faiths can withstand that kind of intelligent scrutiny.
What do you say about people who say they're culturally Mormon, or you've said you're culturally Catholic?
Yeah, like, I don't have a problem with that. It was really my Jewish friends who brought me to cultural Catholicism. I would hang, you know, I have really good close Jewish friends in Seattle who would get together and do Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. And I was just like, oh, so you guys are believers? And they're like, no, we don't believe in God. We're not waiting for a Messiah. Eat bacon whenever we want. But they would do these things that affirm their cultural identity as Jews. And that really unlocked for me kind of this reconciliation with the faith of my parents and the faith in which I was raised, that I could tap into what was good there culturally and affirming and comforting culturally without having to sign off on the virgin birth and people floating off into heaven and resurrections and stuff that did not happen.
So is there advice you would give to someone who maybe is of the LDS faith, who is struggling with their sexuality? What would you say to them?
Sexual reproduction, I think, is 500 million years old or 250 million years old. It's stronger than any religion. Sex has existed longer than the Mormon Church has existed. A lot of things have existed longer than the Mormon Church has existed. Sex has existed longer than Christianity. Sex has existed longer than our species, longer than the current arrangement of the continents. Sex is older and stronger and more powerful than your faith, and sex will win in the end. Look at Ted Haggard. So, you know, in a battle between your faith and your sexuality will win. So you need to come to some sort of rational accommodation for your sexuality. The longer and harder you fight your sexuality, the more miserable you're going to be, and the more pathetic and tragic the sexuality's ultimate triumph is going to be. You're going to look like a Ted Haggard or a George Reekers or a Larry Craig in the end. You're not going to get away with running from your sexuality.
So kind of understanding how the LDS Church kind of dictates culture here in Utah, would you feel comfortable living in Utah?
Oh, my God. I barely feel comfortable living in Seattle because I'm from Chicago. So anything smaller than Chicago, I feel very uncomfortable in. So Chicago or New York are basically the only cities in the country I feel comfortable in. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable living anywhere in Utah but Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City is where the freaks and the refugees wash up. And I'm comfortable in big cities. And everything I hear from people who live here is that it's very diverse and very tolerant. It's everything that a city is supposed to be. It's just surrounded by a sea of nutcases. And I say that in the same way I would say it about Catholic nutcases.
Of course, you have your detractors on the right, but you have some on the left as well, and people from the LGBT community who might be here tonight, actually.
Well, they're welcome to come.
Are you discouraged by that? Are you encouraged by that? Is that confusing?
Well, it's just part of the job. You know, you write things, people get mad at you, you have your agenda and you're pushing it, other people have their own agenda. The only people who would really be sort of disillusioned by that are people with irrational expectations about what a community is. When two straight people disagree, people don't go, oh, look at the division in the straight community. They just think there are two people who disagree. But when two queer people disagree, suddenly it's evidence of some larger ill. And it's not. It's just healthy intra-community debate.